this year, 2010, in the Chinese reckoning, is the year of the tiger. And in our study of this year of tiger, and in case there may be some people who think that I am going on a horoscope prediction, I'm not. This is essentially a Bible study. It's a Bible study of the year of the tiger, or the tiger in the Bible. And the next question you ask me, Mr. An, where is the tiger mentioned in the Bible? Well, perhaps I may ask you the same this question, and if you can answer me, I may give you a special prize. Alright? Where is the tiger mentioned in the Bible for me to do this long study on the tiger? Well, before we go on, let me give you an outline of what I'm going to study with you this morning. First of all, we'll deal with the features of the oft-mentioned tiger. In other words, the characteristics of the tiger that you know. Then we go on to the fact of the non-mentioned tiger. This tiger which seems to be missing from the Bible. And then after that, we go on to the fake non-existent lion or lions. Right, so this will be the outline of our study in place of what I normally give to you notes. I hope to give you the outline notes in my website this week. So if you're interested, you can go to my website. But at the moment, the notes are not there. Now, firstly, the features of the oft-mentioned tiger. Now, let us realize that the tiger belongs to the cat family. The cat family. Just like any other animal, like lion, is in the cat family. Please remember, because these are important facts, which will form the background of our Bible study on the tiger later on. Like the leopard is also a member of the cat family, or the cheetah, or the panda. All these belong to the cat family, just like the tiger. Now, I'd like you to note also the coloration and camouflage of the tiger. You know, a tiger has got stripes. I'm not sure which one is right, whether the tiger has got orange stripes on the black body or black stripes on an orange body or a yellow body. Which do you think? I'm not sure. But I think it's most probably a tiger has got black stripes on a yellow or orange body. Now these stripes are very important for the tiger because they act as a camouflage. These black stripes serve as shadows because the tiger moves among the tall grass of the countries it inhabits, and as it moves among the tall grass, these stripes act as shadows so that it will sort of merge with the background and its victim cannot see that well. Also, it is a night animal. It moves at night. At night, it goes out for its prey. And because of that, these stripes act as a very good camouflage at night especially. Now, you look at a tiger here. It's not difficult, not easy to see. When the tiger is merges with its background. So you see, the tiger has its stripes. And the stripes are very, very good because they disguise the tiger. Now, another thing we need to know about the tiger is its crouching posture. When it's about to hunt, it crouches. It crouches. And when it sees a victim, it follows its victim, and then after that it goes for it, and it crouches, and with its hind legs, it exerts strength upon its hind legs, and it lurches forward. And that's the way a tiger attacks the victim. And it goes for the body, of the upper part of the body of the victim, and then primarily it goes for the neck. And in a very quick instant, the animal dies. So this is an important character of the tiger. It crouches to attack. should remind us of the verse that I referred to this morning. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. What does that mean? I already explained to you this morning the phrase crouching at your door. That this could be referring to the sin offering crouching at the door. When God asked Cain, where is your brother? He answered, am I my brother's keeper? And God said, if you do what is right, will you not be accepted? In other words, if you offer that which is right, will you not be accepted? Cain, Abel, offered an animal offering, and that offering was accepted. And if you do that which is right, won't it be accepted? I will accept it. Now, look here, there is an animal just nearby. Kill it and give it as a sin offering for your sin. That's all. A sin offering is nearby. But of course, there can be the other interpretation that if you do not want to confess your sin and you do not want to get right with God, more sin will be coming by and is crouching nearby to attack you. Right. So that's the features of the oft-mentioned tiger. Now we are going to use these features of the mentioned tiger, of the tiger that we know of, for our study this morning. The fact of the non-mentioned tiger. I asked you this morning, where can you find a tiger mentioned in the Bible? Well, it's not mentioned. It's not mentioned. But does it mean that it is not mentioned? It's not there. Does it mean that? Beware of thinking what is there is not there. That is very important. You think that it is not there. So you say, Mr. Ang, don't come and imagine all sorts of tigers in the Bible, because I cannot even find one there. Beware of thinking what is there is not there. Now you look at the screen. Look at the screen. Below is all empty. Nothing. Nothing there. Are you sure it's nothing there? Sure? Beware. Something is there. It's there. So don't think of something not there as not there. It may be there. And let me tell you something about the Bible that you may not be sure of. For example, God is never mentioned in the book of Esther. Is he there? He is there. God is never mentioned. You can never find God in the book of Esther. And yet, you find that God was definitely behind the scene in all the actions there. For example, you find that Esther was made the queen when Vashti was deposed off by Ahasuerus. Was it a coincidence? Was it a chance? We also find Haman ready to plot out a plan to wipe out the Jews. And yet Mordecai was there eavesdropping to know of his plan. And Mordecai told his niece Esther about it. And his niece told Ahasuerus about it. And we find that in the end of it all, Mordecai, or Haman, was sent to the gallows. Was it a coincidence? Was it a chance? No. God was working behind the scene. Beware of thinking that as if God was not there. But God is there. God was there. Now, in the same way, the tiger is not mentioned in the Bible. Is it there? Yes, it is there. But it's there. How can a tiger be there when it's not mentioned in the Bible? Well, let me say this. The tiger is the devil in disguise. I'll prove my point later on. The tiger is the devil in disguise. You see, the devil is very clever. The devil is not mentioned in the Bible. The tiger is not mentioned in the Bible. And the devil wants us to know him as a tiger. That, oh, you think the tiger, that the devil, this as the tiger is not there, so the devil is not there. And there are many people today who think that there is no devil. There is no Satan. That it is just a figment of our imagination. But is it so? And that's what Satan would like us to be, to believe in. Remember, the devil is the master of disguises. Now, we may not find the Bible in the Bible, the tiger, but we may find the devil appearing in many guises, animal guises, in the Bible. And let's see. For example, we read, in general, the devil in disguise. We find that the devil, the tiger, is not there. Well, it has disappeared. Right? But in its place, we find that in particular, the devil will come in the place of a lion. And we are told in 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8, that beware, be vigilant. The devil as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. So, the devil will appear in the form of, in the guise of the lion. And this is what we are going to do. We may not find the tiger in the Bible, but we will find the lion. And we are told specifically that the devil is disguised as a lion. And we shall find out more about the lion, and in this way, we find out more about our tiger, the devil in disguise. So, the fact of the non-mentioned tiger. Beware of thinking what is there as not there. In general, beware the devil in disguise. He is like a roaring lion, seeking his victims. 1 Peter 5, 8 is very clear. Beware, be vigilant, for the devil as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. More about that later on. But he is not only like a roaring lion, he also comes he is also sending his servants out, the false prophets, to deceive us. In his servants, ravening wolves in sheep's clothing. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15, we are told that we need to beware of false prophets who go about as sheep as wolves in sheep's clothing, very innocent. And this will remind us of this very famous story when we were told when we were young, of the Red Riding Hood. You know of this story very well, of how Red Riding Hood was told by her mother to go and see or visit her grandmother who was sick. And on the way, she met this wolf who pretended to be her friend, and later on went on ahead to eat up her grandmother. And then he disguised himself as the grandmother and waited for Red Riding Hood to come. And later on, Red Riding Hood was also eaten up. I'm not sure whether the younger ones know this story well or not, because younger ones are more familiar with all the computer games and so on. No more fairy tales and fables. Well, that little Red Riding Hood should remind us of the devil appearing as as wolves in sheep's clothing. Be careful. Then we have to read in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9 and 13. I'd like to read that, rather than just quoting it from the screen. In Revelation chapter 9, chapter 12, verse 9, we see that the devil is disguised as a red dragon. During the great tribulation, he will come, and he will be after the Jews, the seed, the nation of Israel, to wipe them out. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9, we read, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, who deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Why? And we read in verse 13, "When the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman, that will be Israel, who brought forth the male child, Jesus." And so we find that the devil would disguise himself as the red dragon, persecuting the Jews. But we find the devil again disguising himself in many other forms. For example, the worst would be one found in Revelation chapter 13, where we read of the revived beast that will arise during the great tribulation, that will persecute the saints. In chapter 13, verse 1 and 2, we read, "I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns." Verse 2, "And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion." And so that would be the revived beast. Whole body would look like a leopard, with feet of a bear, and with face of a lion. And so, you see, the devil, and he's the devil. He's Satan. He takes various forms, and we need to know, to realize this, that he can attack the saints under various disguises. And this is where we saints for this year of the tiger must be beware of the disguises that Satan will come to attack us. Well, we are finished. In general, beware of a tiger in disguise. In particular, beware of a tiger as a lion. And we find that the tiger actually has the characteristics displayed or manifested in the lion. For example, the tiger is a member of the cat family. And so we read of 1 Peter 5:8, beware of the devil, a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. He strives to disguise his presence, and we find the lion there, ready to come upon us. The tiger hunts among the tall grass, and the devil walks about. Tiger is a night stalker, a loner, and we find the devil as a lion, he seeks, and that whom he may devour. In other words, he, like a tiger, is a man-eater. So, I'm concluding with this, that the tiger is the devil in disguise as a lion. And so you have the tiger in the Bible, don't you? And so, we now come on to the third thing, the fake non-existent lions. I have tried to show just now that the lion actually would be the lion in the lion would be actually the tiger in disguise, and the tiger would be the devil in disguise. Am I confusing you? Never mind. You go back to kindergarten. But for this moment, metaphorically, figuratively, let us come to this conclusion in my study. And that is, the devil is the tiger in disguise. The tiger is the lion in disguise. So the devil is the lion. Okay? And because the devil is a lion, let us now study the lion in the Bible. And the lion is mentioned in the Bible. Well, let's hear two people. What the two people say about the lion. Two people. The sluggard and the slothful. Now, the fake non-existent type lions. That's the third point that I am speaking on. Beware of saying what is not there as being there. Just now, I told you, you must beware of thinking what is there as not there. Now, I'm telling you, beware of saying what is not there as being there. You know, it's not there, but you say it's there. And this section of our study, we would like to relate it to our service for the Lord. That we are called to serve the Lord, but we come up with a lot of excuses. Excuses which cannot hold water, which should not be there, but we say they are there. First one, there's a lion in the streets. That's what the slothful says. There's a lion in the streets. Now let's read. There is a lion outside. I shall be slain in the streets. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 13. I dare not go outside. I stay in my home. I dare not go out because there's a lion in the streets. We'll see whether his reasoning is right or wrong, or it's just a mere excuse. Then there's a sluggard who says, there is a lion in the way, a lion is in the streets. Or as his NIV puts it, there's a lion in the road, a fierce lion roaming in the streets. Alright. Now, by the way, who is the slothful and who is the sluggard? Actually, there are not two categories of people, it's only one. King James uses the word slothful. NIV uses the word sluggard. And both refer to the same person. In the original Hebrew, it's the same word. The slothful, of course, comes from the animal, the sloth. The sloth is one animal that lives on the tree in Central and South America. And it usually hangs itself out by putting its long claws around a branch, and then it moves very, very slowly, ever so slowly. It has got long legs, long arms, but mind you, it moves very slowly. And therefore, a slothful person is a lazy person, lazy bones. and a sluggard is just a lazy fellow. Okay? And these statements are made by lazy people who would prefer to stay at home and don't want to go out. Okay, let's examine each what each one says. The slothful says, there's a lion outside. I shall be slain in the streets if I go out. That's Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 13. Number one, is there a lion in the streets? No, there is no lion in the streets. Has anyone here ever seen a lion in Beach Street? Has anyone ever here seen a lion in Penang Street? Anyone seen in any of the Penang roads? No lion will come to a road. No lion will come to a street. Oh, there's a lion outside. I dare not go out. And that's what many of us would say in order not for us to leave the home and go out. Say, oh, no. There is a lion outside. I shall be slain. Well, he has a reasonable excuse for not serving. His whole idea for saying a lion is outside because he does not want to risk himself in the Lord's service. What risk is there? He prefers to stay at home. Why? If he stays at home, he can spend more time with his family. To go out to serve the Lord, you will need to spend a lot of time. He wants to live in his comfortable zone in his home. And so he stays in his home and he enjoys his home. He doesn't want to spend too much time. Now, don't get me wrong. It is good for parents to spend time at home with their children and so on. But there should be a balance. Not to the extent that you will spend so much time at home that you will not go out to serve the Lord. Now that's not right. Or perhaps spend too much money. Then you are prepared to buy for your children all that the children want with all the money. But to go out to serve the Lord, no, it costs too much. It costs too much money and you may have to spend too much. Alright, these are excuses. And it seems reasonable, but be careful. So, the slothful has a reasonable excuse, so to speak. The slothful has a royal excuse. C.S. Spurgeon has this to say. If you can get the king of beasts to apologize for your idleness, there is a sort of royalty about your pretenses. If you can blame the king of beasts, the lion, and claim it as your excuse, my, your excuse must be very right royal, very kingly excuse, in really, very kingly excuse. Now, what do you say? Oh, the time is not yet opportune. The time is not yet come for me to serve, lah. I'm young. There are older ones. Let them serve. I'm too young. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 9 to 11, we have this to say. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. We read, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come like one that travelleth, and thy want like an armed man. And so we find these people too lazy to serve the Lord. You know, I forgot that the cartoon, what cat? The cat always very lazy, only sleeps. Garfield, that's right. Only knows how to sleep. He will never even lift up his hand to work. He will just sleep. And this is what many of us are spiritually anyway. Alright? And Proverbs 24, 33, 34 are also the same. Romans 13, 11 exhorts us, awake thou that sleepest. It's time that you will wake. Ah yeah, give me one more turn in bed lah. Chapter 26, Proverbs 26 and verse 14. And it's just like the other comic character. Who is that fella? That Calvin. Is it Calvin? Calvin, that she knows very well. But fortunately, her children are not like that. Wake up! No, nah, one more minute, mom. One more minute. Let me have one more turn. One more turn. Proverbs 26 and verse 14. And we read, as the door turneth upon his hinges, so does the slothful upon his bed. Now, why is a person who is lazy, who does not wake up, who wants an extra turn in bed compared to a door on its hinges? You know why? You have seen a door before. The door is fixed to its hinges. When you open the door, it turns, isn't it? In, out, in, out, in, out. Does it go anywhere? Never. It doesn't go anywhere. In, out. It turns, but it never goes anywhere. It turns. The person turns in his on his bed. Turns left, turns right, roll this way, roll that way. He never comes out of bed. And this is what we do not want of a Christian. Okay? That Christian needs to get out. So the task does not yet fit. That's another one, interesting one. Proverbs chapter 26 verse 15. The slothful hideth his hand in his dish. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. This lazy fella wants to eat. So in order to eat, must take his hand to go for the food. But once the hand goes to the dish to pick up the food, the hand goes into the dish and literally it says that the hand gets buried in the food. It has no more strength to lift it up, to take the food, put it into his mouth. So it remains in the dish. It's fantastic, isn't it? So lazy that you cannot even lift up your hand to take out the food and put it in your mouth. It must be the spiritual Garfield. Get out the spiritual Garfield in your life. So, the slothful has a reasonable excuse, the slothful has a wrong excuse, the slothful can yet reason excellently. He's very lazy. Very lazy. He won't get out of bed, but when he comes to think, he can think a lot. He's slothful, yet his tongue works very hard. His tongue works very hard. He says this, he says that, he says this. He knows how to criticize people and so on. So beware. Don't let us be so lazy that we refuse to serve the Lord, we refuse to work, but our tongue wags a lot, criticizing this person, criticizing that person, and talks a lot. Yet his thinking, his imagination is not idle. He says, there's a lion in the outside. There's a lion outside. The lion is not realistic and it's not authentic. What is meant by realistic? Because it is not possible that a lion can be on the road. There is no lion in the street. It's not realistic. And it's not authentic. Actual fact, it is not because there's a lion in the street that he does not want to go out. It's because he doesn't want to go out. That's all. He doesn't want to go out. He doesn't want to be in the way. And we should contrast this with Genesis 24:27. Where Eliezer, Abraham's servant, said, I being in the way, the Lord led me. Let us go out and be in the way and let the Lord lead us on. And we read in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6 that if we commit our ways unto the Lord will lead and guide us. So we need to go into the way. Yet he took great pains to escape from pains. You see, all these excuses, he can come up with them. And yet he's a lazy fella. So don't ever think that lazy people don't work. They work. They work very hard, but for their own selfish reasons. So the sluggard now says, we have seen the slothful. He says, there's a lion in the house, on the streets. I don't want to go out. Proverbs 26:13, there's a lion in the road. A fierce lion roaming in the streets. Now, the sluggard is not saying there's a lion in the house, but in the street, but there are now two lions. Two lions. One is a lion in the street, and another one, very fierce one. Very fierce. You see how he acts on, and he exaggerates his excuses. The explanation and the excuses. It is too risky. There's a lion outside. I cannot go out. It will kill me if I go out. It's very fierce, no? He is not Samson. Samson, he remember when he was in Timnah, he killed a lion. But I'm not like Samson. Samson has got tremendous strength. I'm not like David. David, he told Saul that he qualified to fight with Goliath because on the way he killed a bear and a lion. Yes, he had faith that the Lord would be with him. But I'm not like David. Oh, Daniel, Daniel was in the lion's den, and he was not eaten up. Oh, I'm not like Daniel. So he gives all sorts of excuses. I am not like David, I am not like Daniel, I am not like Samson. And so he does not go out to serve the Lord. So, he says there's a lion in the streets. Now, that lion there in the Hebrew implies a fierce lion. So, he says, very fierce, he can eat me up. But actually, it may not be so. You may have to give up a friend. A friend who may have been taking you away from service the Lord. Get rid of him. Because if he continues to take you away, then you will not be useful to the Lord. A practice that you may have to give up. Something that you do, a besetting sin in your life, you need to give up. It is not a fierce lion. A path to walk away from. So that you will be serving the Lord and not going away from him. And then they embarrass fear. I shall be slain in the streets. There's no lion there in the first place. And now you say, I shall be slain in the streets. You are afraid of survival when one is committed. In James 1 we read that if you are committed to the Lord, you will have to face trials and tribulations. Don't worry, the Lord will be with you. You are afraid for suffering or for Christ. But Paul said, I am prepared to have the fellowship of the suffering with Christ. And of being singled out for contempt. You are afraid to be singled out because you are a Christian. And so, he forgot about Daniel's and David's God. He forgot the destination of the child of God. By the way, if you read Isaiah chapter 35 verses 8 and 9, very interesting reference. You look at it. It says that in the future, God's highway, there will be God's highway. And in that highway, there will be no lions there. No lions there. For that highway is reserved for God's redeemed people. How glad it will be. Don't forget about that. Don't forget that you have another lion. The Lion of Judah. And he is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lion of Judah in Revelation 5 and 6. So the imaginary lion is his excuse for not serving. Are we going to accept the challenge of Joshua? As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Joshua chapter 24. As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. So the challenge, if there is a lion without, is there no lion within you? Sure. If you serve Christ and suffer, you will surely suffer if you do not serve Christ. That's what C.H. Spurgeon said. You need the Lion of Judah within to counter the lion of disguised devil and adversary without. You need the lion. You need the Lord Jesus Christ inside you to counter the lion outside you. So there are only two lions that are real. The tiger lion, which is the disguised devil and our adversary. He is the tiger in our lives who helps us conceive the lions in our mind. Beware of the lion who is the devil in disguise. Furnishing our imagination with excuses from serving. Making our iniquity, which eliminates us from serving, and making our indifference to exempt ourselves from serving. Beware of all these excuses. They are not helpful to us. There are only two lions that are real. The lion who is the disguised devil, the lion who is the Lion of Judah, and he is our advocate. He is the one who has conquered the lion and will help us conquer the other lions, the tigers in our lives. Romans 8:37 says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Well, I conclude now. Will we try to find tiger excuses in not serving the Lord? Will there be one lion, two lions, or even more in our way so that we cannot go straight to the vineyard to serve as co-laborers with God? Will we have the Lion of Judah reign over us in this year of the tiger 2010? In God's future kingdom, when the Lion of Judah reigns, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, in the future kingdom when the Lion of Judah reigns. In this year of a tiger, can we say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Blessed Chinese New Year to all of you. Wishing you all, especially our Chinese brethren, a blessed, bountiful year of peace, prosperity, and productivity in the Lord, in this year of the Tiger 2010.